Today, the Super First Time Buyer Booster. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, Wealth Notice Post, covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The number of owner-occupier first home buyer loan commitments increased 9.3% in season-adjusted terms in December 2020 to hit 15,205 loan commitments, compared with 9,712 a year earlier. The number of first home buyer loan commitments for investment purposes were just 4.2% of all first home buyer commitments in original terms, and owner-occupier first home buyer loan commitments accounted for 35.9% of all owner-occupier commitments, excluding refinancing, in original terms in December. So first-time buyers are a really big part of the current market momentum. And there is a reason for this. In fact, I ran a custom query for a journalist drawing data from our rolling household surveys. That's 52,000 annually. And we asked questions both qualitative and quantitative regarding buying intentions and recent transactions. And we found that 22% of first-time buyers in the past year used the early super withdrawal program to help build their deposit. And most of these used both the pre-June 30 and post-1 July programs to accumulate up to $20,000. When coupled with the 95% government scheme, this allowed some to access the market for free. And in addition, we saw an increase in money passing from the bank of mum and dad to help fund a deposit as first-time buyers responded to all the various government incentives. Now, I'll leave others to judge whether the early super program was designed for this, but the fact is it did help around 22,000 first-time buyers to access the market. And more than half of those had not started to save prior. And we also found that in the past, people who received these Seagull payments to assist in home purchases were three times more likely to default in the following 5 years due to the fact that they had no practice in saving regularly. And of course, banks are now getting more careful by asking more detailed questions about where deposit funds come from and even about people's use of services like Afterpay and other buy now, pay later products. And the question of superannuation and housing deposits appears to be a really hot issue. Lachlan Maddock at Investor Daily wrote a piece called Tilting at Windmills with Tim Wilson. Tim Wilson's latest attempt at throwing things at the wall to see what sticks, he said, is also one of his most bizarre. Media reports indicate that Australia's most strident superannuation critic has a hot new idea, banning superannuation funds from investing in property. If Big Super can make you a serf to your own super by buying houses you can rent off them, then you should be able to use your super to buy your own house. The law should empower citizens, not capital. That's why it should be home first, super second, Tim Wilson said. New powers under the Your Future, Your Super laws, which allow the government to prohibit any investment or payment made by a super fund, regardless of whether it's in members' best interests, could conceivably be used to bring this about. Why the government would want to do this is not clear. An intervention on this scale would fly in the face of the LNP's and Mr. Wilson's alleged maniacal devotion to free markets. Exactly what super funds would be banned from investing in is also unclear. By way of example, the $134 billion Aware Super is not tipping member money into a nice little fixer-upper with a bit of backyard space close to a good school. It's building what it describes as key worker affordable housing, offered at a 20% discount to market, something Mr. Wilson should, if we understand his position correctly, support. Now, there's a second part to this argument, of course. Mr. Wilson believes Australians should be allowed to access their superannuation to pay for a house. That's an idea for which there is some support, given the number of retirees whose pension and savings are eaten up by rent, but no one actually then justifies banning funds from investing in property. Of course, unlike some of his colleagues, Mr. Wilson is not actually stupid. He has a keen understanding of both superannuation and the political opportunities created by painting it as a bogeyman out to rot Aussie battlers. Unfortunately, most of the Morrison government hasn't matched his zeal. The Retirement Income Review provided the perfect opportunity to make sweeping changes to superannuation, but Senator Jane Hume struck a more even tone, noting that while the industry is frustratingly partisan, the increase to 12% was legislated, and that's that. From the outside, there does not appear to be much appetite for wholesale change to the superannuation system ahead of an election that is already shaping up to be fought over industrial relations. That's something else Mr. Wilson knows. This harebrained idea isn't about improving retirement outcomes for workers or creating an even playing field between young Australians and billion-dollar instos, both noble goals. It's about raising Mr. Wilson's political profile, he wrote. That should be better accomplished by using his position as chair of the Standing Committee on Economics to continue uncovering wrongdoing and false advertising within the superannuation sector rather than tilting at windmills, or rather, apartment blocks. And today, Superannuation Minister Jane Hume has denied the government is even considering a backbencher's proposal to allow first home buyers to withdraw retirement savings for housing deposits. As we just discussed, Liberal MP Tim Wilson has urged for early super access to allow young people to enter the housing market. But Senator Hume, Minister for Financial Services, Superannuation and the Digital Economy, shut down the idea when asked about it. At this stage, there is no plan to allow Australians to access a deposit for their home through superannuation, as Hume commented during a Sky News interview. Superannuation is to save for your retirement, and we want to make sure Australians have the best retirement outcomes possible. That's a no then, Minister, presenter Peter Stefanovic retorted. Your words? That's right, she answered. Industry Super has warned allowing superannuation savings to be funneled towards the housing market would supercharge house prices and leave young people with smaller balances to retire on. Bernie Dean, the chief executive at Industry Super Australia, commented, Treasurer Josh Frydenberg and Prime Minister Scott Morrison should back up the minister in pouring cold water on Mr. Wilson's proposals. This proposal would jack up house prices, inflate young people's mortgages and add billions to the age pension, which taxpayers have to pay for, Mr. Dean said. But the MP pushing this proposal says the house hike is secondary. It might be secondary for politicians who have multiple investment properties and are pocketing 15% super, but it sure isn't for those young Australians who, under this scheme, will be staring down the barrel of hugely inflated mortgages without any super savings to fall back on. We need sensible solutions like boosting the supply of affordable housing, which will bring prices down and get young people into a home in a way that doesn't lumber workers with higher taxes in the future. And that really is the point, that if the superannuation sector becomes another battleground for property, it means that you are once again spreading the risks of the property sector more broadly across all sorts of savings that people might hold, and that's a big problem. And by the way, I do think that superannuation should be about long-term savings for retirement, not about wealth building in the short term. But then, of course, the original design criteria and purpose of superannuation, which was clear at one stage, has been completely scrambled by poor government policy, very, very disgraceful industry practice, and in fact, just a lot of confusion. Time, I think, for some clearer, more straightforward discussions about superannuation and what it's there for. But to my mind, it absolutely isn't there to facilitate buying your first house. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.